Hey-dee-ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. I am the pastor at Alturas Baptist Church, and I want to welcome you to the Lord's message this morning on KCFJ AM570. What do fasting, wineskins, and the bridegroom mean? Do you know what fasting is and why it is done? In just a few minutes, I will share with you the answer to those questions and the importance of applying it to your life. Stay tuned. After you hear this message, come in this morning, hear the next message that the Lord wants me to share with you. I look forward to meeting you when you arrive at 11 o'clock this morning at Alturas Baptist Church. But for now, let's come together in unity and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while also learning a very important life lesson from God that will guide you through this life.
King of kings, Majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, living and dead. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before you now.
Please stand. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us the ability to come together as one into your house to learn and hear your message. Lord, show us how you want us to apply this message into our life. Show us how you want us to apply this message into the lives surrounding us. And Lord, just show us exactly what you want us to do in your will, in your plan for this community. Lord, be with us. Anoint this service today. Allow us to fully feel your Holy Spirit moving upon all of us. Allow us to hear the message, not just to listen to it, but to actually hear it, to actually take it in, Lord, and to show us exactly how you want us to use it, how you want us to apply it, and how you want us to share it. Open the doors to share your testimony, to share your life with others who are in need of it for their life. Lord, thank you for each person, and I lift each person up that is hearing this this message. Lord, thank you. Thank you for using me as the messenger to share your powerful words. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Psalm 95, 1 and 3. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. Oh, ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Praise Him in adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters the under His wings, He so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted?
Zechariah 14:9. On that day, the Lord will become king over all the earth, the Lord alone and His name alone.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the ancient. Nation, all of creation, bow before the ancient of days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O God. Away, all ancient of days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the ancient of days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the ancient. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted above. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O ancient of days. Our kingdom shall reign over all the earth. sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare me to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted above, and your kingdom shall not pass away, Ancient of Days. Ancient of Days.
Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness.
I will trust my Savior Jesus when my darkest doubts befall. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. I will trust my Savior Jesus, trust him when my strength is small. For I know the shield of Jesus is the safest place of all. Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust you more and more. Jesus, only Jesus, may my heart be ever yours. I will trust my Savior Jesus, he has said his way is best, and I know that path he's chosen leads to Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust you more and more. Jesus, only Jesus, may my heart be ever yours.
Seated.
Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome each and every one of you here today, and I want to make a confession. It has been an absolutely crazy week for me. Now, I am beginning by asking all of the prayer warriors, whether you are here present, whether you are watching our service on Facebook or YouTube, or whether or not you're listening on KCFJ AM 570. I am asking for prayers. Not for me. I'm asking for prayers for my beautiful bride, Lisa. She spent Monday and Tuesday at the hospital having tests done. Blood tests, CT scans. She's going through a lot of pain in her body right now. We don't know the results of these tests. And I'm asking that you keep her in prayer as the doctors are trying to figure out exactly what is causing this immense amount of pain in her body. And then on Wednesday, I had a doctor's appointment in Reno, which, don't worry, I'm fine. I just had to pick up my very first CPAP machine, which, by the way, my body is not responding very well to. So needless to say, I'm a little bit sleep deprived because on top of that, Thursday through Saturday, I have been in Susanville for chaplainship and pastoral training and getting up at 5:30 in the morning and driving out there every day. Again, I'm sleep deprived this week, but I'm not complaining because ultimately learning how to be a better pastor is what I desire to be. The trainings that God sends me to is doing exactly that, teaching me how to be a better pastor for God's children in His ministry. That is my focus in life. Now, with all of that information that I just told you, all of that is just for your knowledge to know that I have had zero amount of time to study for our exegetical study in the book of Revelations. I have not had any time to do that. And we were supposed to begin that study today. But God has reasons for everything that happens in your life. Just like He has a reason for everything that happens in my life. And though we were supposed to start the book of Revelation today, I now understand, I now know why He has postponed that this week. Because ultimately, God has reasons for everything that He guides. And it's for His will. It is for His plan. It is for His purpose. And it is not for us to question or worry about or decide, is it my fault? Because no, it's not. It's based on what He wants. Now, along with this craziness of a week, I have spent a lot of time doing what God wants me to do. And that is a lot of praying and some fasting, which led me to bring to you this message for today. The title of today's message is New Wineskins. We are in the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. Now, I'm going to begin this message with a question like I do a lot of times. And that question is, do you fast? Now, there are some who fast. There are some who fast frequently. And then there are those who don't believe that fasting is necessary in today's Christian life. Now, I will admit, I don't fast as often as I should. I can't go very long without food. So food fasting is a very limited situation for me. Now, I have learned a long time ago that everything that Jesus has said is extremely important and it is necessary to follow it, which is why His words are all in red. Now, I wonder, what does Jesus have to say about fasting? Please stand for the reading of God's word today. Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. The disciples of John, meaning John the Baptist, and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to Him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth to an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into the new wineskins. You may be seated. Now, after reading that, I just have to ask, what does fasting and wineskins and the bridegroom, what does that mean? Did you catch the reference in what Jesus was saying, though? Let's begin by looking at fasting. Fasting in the Old Testament was a response to extraordinary circumstances. It wasn't a ritual, and it was never a commandment in the Old Testament. I'll give you a few examples. After David had his affair with Bathsheba, and then had her husband Uriah killed in battle, God sent word to David via the prophet Nathan. And he told David that his baby, his child, was going to die because of what he had done. That was his punishment. Look at how David responded, though. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. Look at during the time that the Jews were in exile in Babylon, the king was tricked into ordering the genocide of all of the Jews. But then look at what happens in Esther chapter 4, verse 3. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews and with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. What about Jonah? Let's look at Jonah real quick. Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the stomach of a big fish. But then he was spit out. He was spit out of that fish onto the shoreline of Nineveh. And then he very reluctantly preached the word of God and preached that God was going to destroy the city of Nineveh because of what they were doing. Look at Jonah chapter 3 verses 6 through 9. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covering himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water." In other words, do not let them do anything but fasting. They were to fast. And then it continues in verse 8. "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" In other words, when we are repenting, we are to be praying and fasting. But, oh, Pastor, that's an Old Testament thing. We're in the New Covenant. We follow the New Testament. Fasting's not necessary, except for one thing, except for the passage that we just read today, except for the words that Jesus did speak. Now, I completely understand that a lot of people are going to do their fasting publicly. Again, today's society is no different than that of the first century Israel. Fasting in the time of Jesus had become a ritual and was often done to show off. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised other people. And Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He's publicly making known what he does for his benefit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Again, Jesus says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. The things that God tells us to do, we do in private. We don't boast about it. We don't tell people about it. We give it to God for his glory. Matthew chapter 6, again, verses 16 to 18. Jesus says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. In other words, do it happily. Don't complain about it. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Jesus isn't against fasting. He was teaching the importance of fasting and how to do it properly in private. Now, I get it. Before anybody points this out, before anyone publicly comes to me and says that I publicly told y'all that I have been fasting. Yes, I mentioned it, but I didn't publicly boast about it. That is the difference. It's okay to talk about it. It's okay to let others know that you are fasting. What isn't okay is the need for the attention from the other people behind this public admission. Humility goes a long way with God. It goes light years. That's my only bout of humor in this one. And like usual, it didn't go as well as I thought it would. But that's okay. I'm not here for a comedy show. I'm here to teach God's word. Remember when Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for battle, his trial with Satan? Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Jesus isn't against fasting. He is against the arrogance that is related to unnecessary fasting. See, fasting in the New Testament church became a response to extraordinary circumstances. Remember when Paul fasted after Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus? When Jesus struck him blind? Acts chapter 9, verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. He fasted. The church of Antioch fasted before setting Paul and Barnabas aside for the ministry and sending them out to accomplish God's work. Acts chapter 13, verse 3. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now earlier I asked, what does fasting, wineskins, and the bridegroom, what does that mean? What's the answer to that? Here is the answer. We know that Jesus is the bridegroom that he is referencing in this story, in this parable. We are the wineskins, and fasting is necessary to follow Jesus. That's a bold statement, but it's from the words of Christ himself. The people were expecting Jesus to fit their picture of who the Messiah was going to be. They had been taught this since forever. Since Isaiah and all the prophets had told about the Messiah, they had been taught everything. They expected him to look a certain way, to live like a religious leader. And that's why the question about fasting. And they expected him to overthrow the Roman government that was oppressing the entire nation of Israel. And they expected him to physically reestablish the kingdom of David in Israel to its former glory. Jesus was nothing like the religious leaders, though. He opposed their hypocrisy. He made it public, their hypocrisy. And the kingdom that he came to establish wasn't a physical kingdom of Israel for the Israelites. He came to establish an eternal kingdom for every human being. He was nothing like anything they had ever seen. Jesus wasn't coming to fix what they had. He came to do something completely different, something completely new, something that nobody ever expected, to save humanity, to give them everlasting life in heaven with God, something that was never known. There's only one catch. You have to accept Jesus as your Savior. That's it. That's the only thing that you have to do. You don't have to do anything else. You just have to accept Christ into your life and let God and the Holy Spirit of God do the rest. But what does all of this mean? Ultimately, in the kingdom of God, God wants our obedience instead of our rituals. Religious rituals can be seen as commands of God, such as animal sacrifices for the sins and following Sabbath worship of the Old Testament, as well as even baptisms and the Lord's Supper that we do through the New Testament and the New Covenant. That can be viewed as rituals. Here's the thing. It really isn't. It's not ritualistic to follow what God has commanded us to do. He has commanded us to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus has commanded us to take the elements of his body and his blood, even though it's not really his body and his blood. And the reason why I say that is because there are religions who do believe that it is truly his body and his blood. That's false teaching. They can also be things that are man-made, such as morning quiet times, daily Bible studying, and prayers scheduled in your war room. Those are things we have to do. How many of us do it non-ritualistically, though? Do you pick the exact same time? Do you say the exact same words? Do you do exactly the same thing over and over again? Or do you release yourself and let the Holy Spirit guide you in doing those things? That's the difference between ritualistic and natural. Now, they are good and helpful things that we need to do, unless they become an end in themselves. They should be merely tools. That's it. Tools to help us in our worship, in our service to God, not as a ritual that we have to maintain and follow religiously. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity as idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 to 17. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand, to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They're a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow." I think those are the harshest words I have ever witnessed God say to us. God is all about love and compassion. But when he's had enough of something, he's had enough. And he has had enough of rituals. He wants us to naturally come to him. He wants us to naturally be a part of what he wants us to do because we love him, not because we need to do it. Because he's calling us to do it. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 to 9. "Hypocrites." Jesus doesn't mince words, does he? Straight up, "Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" From God's own mouth right there. John chapter 14, verse 15, again, God says, through Jesus, the God-man, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In the kingdom of God, God cares about the fruit more than the fertilizer. Now, as human beings, we know where fertilizer comes from. I don't need to say it. But ultimately, the fertilizer, along with water and sunshine and proper maintenance, is what we use to grow fruit. Now, I use this because my bride and I are growing pumpkins. And based on how many that have been fertilized, it's a lot of pumpkins. But we use water. We've got them out in constant sunshine. We are giving the proper maintenance, and that fruit is growing. Fertilizer is important. But at the end of the day, what matters is the fruit that is being produced. There are four things that God is looking for in and through us. Number one, justice. Now, I just saw some heads pop up. The justice that God is looking for is that we are caring for the rights of others in fairness. That is justice. He's looking for mercy. We have to be quick to forgive. We have to be just in overlooking a simple offense from the very beginning when it's committed. Forgive it and let it go. No matter what that offense is. Is it really worth taking yourself down Satan's path of anger and hatred? No, it's not. But if it is to you, repent right now. Because that one sin that you're holding on to is going to send you to hell. Remember, last week I told you, only one unrepented sin is enough to send you to hell. One. And if that is the one, repent. God is also looking for us to have humility. You see, I treat others as if they are better than me. I know that everybody knows the golden rule. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. I'm going to go a step higher than that. Do unto others better than what you want done to you. Not because those people are better than you. They're not. We're all equal to each other. Nobody is better than anybody else. But you treat them as being better than you as in as if. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness, meaning humility of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Treating people as if they are the guest of honor and not treating them like you are the guest of honor. There's a huge difference in that in the eyes of God. The fourth thing that God is looking for is love. But not just any love. Unconditional love. What exactly does that mean? Well, first off, we receive unconditional love from God. And so He wants us to live like Him. And if we're living like Christ, we have to have unconditional love every moment of our life. But to further that, Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Now, we just read where God says that's an abomination to Him. Verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Is love a main emotion of the fruit of the Spirit? Let's look at it and find out. In your notes, I put this next verse, set of verses in there, this next passage. In your notes, look for and circle how many times love is mentioned. 1 Corinthians 13:1 through 7. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Is love the main emotion? Yes. Love is essential in our walk with Jesus. It is necessary for the gaining of the fruit of the Spirit. It is vital to be a true child of God. Now, what does new wineskins mean? And what does it have to do with the Spirit? Jesus was a different Messiah than they expected. Jesus established a different kingdom than was expected. Jesus is making you and me into a new creation that we could never expect. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Earlier I told you that we are the wineskins. In conclusion, we are the wineskins. And as we become true children of God, we become new wineskins. As we are now new creations in the eyes of God, we cannot continue to live our lives the old way, as the old wineskins. If we fill our new selves up with our old life, it's going to break us open. It is going to spill out who we have become. It will destroy us in our new relationship with God. Jesus is the bridegroom. We, the church, are the bride of Christ. He is going to come back for us. Are you prepared for that wedding that is coming? Prayers with fasting are necessary for our relationship with Jesus in order for it to flourish, not as a ritual, but as an obedient factor for us to maintain and to accomplish through His Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you have never fasted, come forward or go to our deacon. Let us teach you how to properly fast and to properly pray. If you're here today and you have never trusted in Jesus, or you have and you have fallen away, come forward. If you have never truly asked Him to come into your life, you have never truly trusted Jesus to send His Holy Spirit to fill you, and you are now ready for God the Father to pour out His love, His compassions, His mercies, and to fill you with His Holy Spirit today, come forward. You cannot live another day without the Father, without the Son, and without the Holy Spirit to guide you, to teach you, and to love you for the remaining time that you have left in this world. Now is the time in your life to come forward. God is calling you into His family to become a true member of the Bride of Christ, to be a part of His life, His ministry. Come forward right now before it's too late. And when I say that, remember last week's message. Remember the two things you will not have in heaven. You will not have another opportunity to share Jesus with a family member that you love. Come forward now. Become a true child of God before it's too late and you don't have that opportunity anymore. Before it's too late and you are one of those family members that didn't. And they are going to go to hell. Dedicate your entire existence to Christ. Become a true child of God today. Repent of your sins. Repent of the hatred, of the anger. Repent of your selfishness. Repent of everything that goes against Scripture. Do it today. I love you. And God loves you. Have a blessed week.
Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. Please stand as we worship the Lord.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting on to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many conflicts, many doubts, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And cleanse me, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Hey, hey, ho. Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church, located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California, at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the next message right here on KCFJ AM 570. If you also want to check out some other video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.